This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. From the surface of the planet Earth, we come crashing down on the surface of the planet Earth, as identified by Bob Zimmerman. He keeps the website Behind the Black. The crash is not a sign of success. It is failure. Bob, who crashed? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. It's worse than a sign of failure. You know, rocket science is not easy, right? So things can go wrong, and we shouldn't get too upset if something goes wrong when you're trying to do something new. But this is worse than, this is not that kind of failure. This is an unmitigated, willful negligence by China. Because they built a rocket called the Long March 5B, and this rocket's used to put the big modules up into orbit that they're using to build their space station. And so last week, they launched another one of the Long March 5Bs, and for the third time in a row, the core stage, first stage essentially, of this rocket reaches orbit, but it's an unstable orbit, it turns its engine off, it deploys the module, and then it's out of control. And it's big, which means it's going to hit the ground. It's not going to burn up in the atmosphere. And they cannot control where it will come down. And so once again, for the third time, the Long March 5B core stage came crashing down. It ended up, parts crashed above Malaysia and Indonesia this past weekend. No injuries were reported, thank goodness. But large sections have been found close to villages in those two countries, including a lot of pieces that caused craters 1 to 2 feet deep, which means they hit the ground with some power. Had they hit a person, they would have maybe killed them. And so this is China. They have not done anything to fix this rocket, even though they've had several years to do it. They are signatories of the Outer Space Treaty, which forbids such actions. You're supposed to make sure nothing will harm anybody else. If something does, China doesn't really care. I don't think even if they hurt someone, they would care. And what's worse, the worst part of the story, John, is this is all going to happen again in October, because the Long March 5B is going to launch again to put the last module up of the Chinese space station in October. And when that launches, guarantee they're going to go through this again, and we will once again risk the possibility of parts hitting people's head on the head.
In other words, they have a rocket that they know is going to crash on Earth. Can they fix it, Bob, in a fashion such as SpaceX? Can it be fixed?
I thought that, you know, last summer when this happened previously, that was a year ago, and during the year, there were actually reports from China that they were doing engine tests on the engines that were used for the core stage, and I thought what was happening is China was revising that engine so that it could be restarted. So once they've deployed the module, they could then restart the engine to bring it down in a controlled manner. I thought they were doing that, but they didn't do it, and it takes time to do something like that. So they had a year between the last year's mission and this year's launch, and they didn't do it. By October, I doubt seriously they can get anything like that fixed. So I know this can't. This can only be fixed if they weren't willfully negligent from the beginning. They designed this rocket knowing this would happen, and they didn't care.
To Australia, farmers believe they've found space junk consistent with what? This says Dragon Crew, a SpaceX Dragon?
Yeah, the report here is that there are people in Australia finding pieces of space junk that some people are claiming comes from a SpaceX Dragon launch that was returning humans from space. This is the the Axiom 1 mission that was the commercial mission to ISS in the spring. There's problems with that story. I don't know exactly if that's false, but I don't know if it's true either. That Endurance capsule returned on May 5th. When it returns, it has a service module attached to the capsule that they detach, and then it burns up in the atmosphere while the capsule comes home safely under control. Well, the service module or trunk is not very large, and so it's expected to burn up in the atmosphere. Is it possible pieces could get to the ground? Yes, it is maybe possible that could happen. But the problem is that the capsule returned on May 5th, and supposedly the sonic boom from this new junk occurred on July 9th. That's, 3 months? later. Now, it's possible that that service module just was in an out-of-control orbit for 3 months until it finally came down. But I just don't know. And if that's the case, it's still unclear that this is definitely the material it came from. I mean, space junk's an issue. Most companies and nations make an effort to bring things down under a controlled circumstance. SpaceX is actually very good at that as a general rule. There are exceptions. But in this case, I'm not sure yet what the story is, John.
Bob, what is the Space Foundation?
Space Foundation is a, I guess it's a think tank or it's an industrial organization that does research on the industry of space. And, you know, you can hire them to do research on a specific research project for you on various industry aspects. But they do an annual report of the overall industry. And so they released a report a week ago covering the whole year of 1921 and found that the global space industry grew by 9% in 2021 compared to the year before. And that was and that industry now totals almost $500 billion in revenue and infrastructure construction. And so this is just showing that things are really growing well. The report found that there was a 19% increase in government spending, but the big increase was in private enterprise. That went up, I think, like 33%. So once again, space is the place right now. It's growing leaps and bounds. There's real demand, and there's real competition, which is lowering the cost, which is increasing the demand.
Part of the increase, I'm reading from the report, comes from an overall 19% boost in government spending on military and civil space programs, including an 18% increase by the U.S., an estimated 23% by China, and 36% by India, 36% boost by India. These are the spy satellites, Bob, or the weather satellites? Is that what we're talking about? Government.
It includes everything. So it also includes NASA. It would include any lunar programs. It would include, like, India's attempt to put man in space, their Gagayan program. It would include everything. But it's where government is raising its budgets to do this stuff. And one of the reasons government's raising budgets is because they're finally getting some real bang for their buck, especially in the United States, transferring everything to the private sector. Means there's competition, and so suddenly NASA or the military wants to build something. They're not only getting it built fast, but they're beginning to build very cheaply with a lot of redundancy. And so there's justification for raising the budget because you can now get a lot done. And so that's one of the reasons things are growing.
A 9% increase year over year, Bob, is worthy of the Chinese miracle of the year 2000. We're talking about growth that is. We don't know its limits when you grow that quickly.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when a nation grows its GDP by like 3%, everyone thinks things are doing magnificent. This is the equivalent of a 3x growth of that, yes. So this is really good news.
We go to Russia. Roscosmos is struggling, but it's launching satellites, a military satellite, to do what?
That's what's interesting. They don't tell us, but a lot of space people have looked into this. It was launched at a time and in a direction to match up with a national reconnaissance satellite that was launched previously. And so what some experts think is that this military satellite launched by Russia is what they call an inspector satellite. It's going to rendezvous with the NRO satellite so that it can photograph it, inspect it, see what it's doing, and track it. That's what they think this is all about, and we're going to find out over the coming days because they'll be able to see if it gets close to that that American reconnaissance satellite, which, by the way, apparently released a new object just a week ago. So that's doing its own thing. We don't know what it is, and Russia wants to find out. They're not going to tell us if they do. That's what's going on.
This does not qualify as weaponizing space, correct? It's just surveillance. So this outer space.
I don't make that. I think that distinction of weaponizing space is a fake, false straw man argument. It's a military operation. Everything that's military is military. They're not putting a weapon into space, but it's for the use of military. So in this case, they're doing reconnaissance, yes, surveillance and reconnaissance in orbit, just as we are. But I don't see that any different than putting weapons up into space. I don't see any way to prevent putting weapons up into space someday because people are going to be defending themselves.
All right. We come to a very important birth date. Not a birthday, a birth date for a man of the 21st century who was a pioneer in travel in outer space and domestic space. Who was born July 31st, 2022, Bob, and where is he now?
George Jetson, the star of the animated TV show from the 1960s, The Jetsons, was supposedly born, according to that show, on July 31st, 2022. So this past weekend, somewhere on Earth, George Jetson was born, so that someday in a few years from now, he can be flying around in his jet car. You know, which brings us to the next story, John, because a flying car has now been approved by the FAA, which I find really cool. I got a picture of it on Behind the Black. The concept is really interesting. They call it the Samson Switchblade. And the Switchblade name comes from the fact that when you're sitting in this vehicle, you press a button and the wings fold themselves up under the vehicle, kind of like a switchblade does. So does the tail, by the way. It kind of folds down as well. And the way this is designed is you can park this thing in your car, get in. It's three-wheeled, so it's rated as a motorcycle, but it's enclosed, and it seats two people. You get in, you drive out of your garage, you drive to a small runway, you open you press a button, the wings and the tail come out, you take off. You fly to another small runway, you close up the wings and the tail, you drive across to where you're going, and that's the idea. You never have to get out of your car. This company says they're now only months away from their first test flight, now that they've got FAA approval to do flight tests. And once they start those tests, they will be selling their first kits to customers 18 months later. This is a kit. You will have to assemble it yourself with their aid. That makes it a kind of called an experimental plane, which allows them to bypass some regulations. They've already got 1,500 reservations for it to buy this. So it's kind of cool, John.
And the company is named Samson, or the aircraft is named Samson?
The company is called Samson, from what I understand, and it's called the Samson Switchblade, or Switchblade would be the name of the
company. And Bob has a photograph, and the website is SamsonSky.com. I click on the link that Bob provides, SamsonSky.com. A number of people marveling at a dashboard that looks recognizably like Nissan's dashboard, with a lot of buttons to push. I don't know, Bob. I'm not sure George Jetson would approve of this because it does not fold.
If you're a pilot, already know how to fly and know how to build your own planes already, and there's a lot of those people that do it, this is a wonderful thing. I'm sure they're going to get customers. I have no doubt about it.
One of whom will eventually be, when he grows a little older, George Jetson, born July 31st, 2022. If you don't know the Jetsons, lucky you. Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. When we come back, we're going exploring on the moon and Mars and beyond. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.